Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's the fifth book of the Bible. Moses wrote it. It's sometimes referred to as the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible. It's the fifth one. And in it, Moses is rehearsing again the law of God, exhorting the people in this chapter to obedience to God's law. Obedience has blessings that come with it. And Moses is teaching here. This is a younger generation. This is the older generation has died off now. The ones who came out of Egypt because of disobedience, God said, you're gonna die in the wilderness. And that law, the law of God, was given at Mount Sinai initially to that generation, and that generation now has passed away by and large, and the law is going to be repeated and expanded somewhat in the book of Deuteronomy. Just for background, I want to read one verse now, and we're going to read more in this chapter, but to begin, go to chapter 8 and look at verse 10. Would you? Verse 10. The Word of God says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." If I read that correctly, that's Deuteronomy 8:10. We're going to read some more in this chapter in a few minutes, but before we do, let's stop now, brethren. And Brother Jimmy, thank you for your prayer. Brother Jimmy recognizes and acknowledges that the preacher needs desperate prayer, needs God's help. And I thank you for your prayer, and I thank you all for your silent prayers in my behalf. I'm going to pray now audibly that God will bless me to preach His Word, and you and me to hear the Word of God. So join with me in that petition to God. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for this beautiful day that you've made. Thank you for blessing us to walk to be here. Thank you for loving us. We know, Lord, that we love you because you first loved us. We come now before you, giving thanks to you for your good hand upon us. Thank you for your unspeakable gift of Christ Jesus, what he means for us, what he's done for us. Thank you, Father, that you've saved us. We're saved by the blood of Christ Jesus, offering himself without spot to you in our behalf. We thank you that we've been called from death into life and been made to know you as our Father which art in heaven. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the material blessings you've given us. Father, now as we look into your word, teach us about yourself. Come by the Holy Spirit and lead us in this worship time. Give me words to say. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May I be able to honor and glorify you, and that I will be nothing more than a messenger boy from you to preach your word in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Father, grow us. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. May we honor you in this hour, and may you be glorified, and may your people be instructed in your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. We pray forgiveness of our sins in the name above every name that can ever be named, and that's Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Brethren, let me read this verse again to you. Chapter 8, verse 10. Listen to this. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. We are on the eve of Thanksgiving Day, aren't we? Just a few minutes ago, we were in the Bible study area. And when the lesson was over, we were visiting, and one of the folks back there asked another something to the effect, "Do you have plans for Thanksgiving?" And the response was something like, "I'm going to eat." Right? That's the plan. That's the plan. That's my plan. That's my plan. And I'll bet you it's yours also. That's what we do on Thanksgiving Day. It's coming up fast. We often Thanksgiving Day, think of Thanksgiving Day. When I think of it, the first thought that comes to my mind is eating, feasting, celebrating the bounty of our land. And that really is what, there's a lot of history about the first Thanksgiving, but I understand it generally to be that the pilgrims and the Native Americans got together and they feasted. That's not all they did. They played some games. They had some competition. But they also, brethren, gave thanks to God. It's how it got the name Thanksgiving. So feasting in and of itself, I think if we're celebrating God's goodness to us, I think it's a good thing to do. Hopefully, we'll take time, brethren, after we have feasted to, as the Word of God says, bless the Lord thy God. And that's what Thanksgiving, the bottom line, is about, to bless. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. I looked up the word bless in my concordance, and it has to do with blessing God, has to do with to kneel as an act of adoration. That's praising God, giving thanks to God. A part of that blessing God is to give thanks to Him. Give thanks, to show our gratitude. Gratitude, the state of being grateful. Grateful, appreciation for benefits received. Thanksgiving, the act of giving thanks. Another definition is a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. That's a good definition of it right there. A public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. I mentioned a moment ago the first Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving goes back beyond the U.S. of A., the colonies, or England, or Europe, or it's all through the Bible we're to give thanks. It goes all the way back to Bible days, biblical days. We're commanded. But of course, Thanksgiving in the history of our country, we know a little bit about the history of it. But the Word of God, brethren, says, in everything give thanks. Be thankful. Be thankful. Always. So I want to try to preach to you this morning, brethren, and remind you and exhort you about being thankful. Would you go to the first verse in this chapter here? I'm going to read, God willing, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 20 verses, but I want to read it to you because, brethren, to me, I was praying about and thinking about what I might try to preach on this week, this Sunday to you, and I wanted to think about Thanksgiving. I wanted to bring a lesson about giving thanks and how sometimes we forget to give thanks. And there are a lot of scriptures all through the Bible of people giving thanks and then people failing to give thanks. You know, Jesus healed those 10 lepers. You know that example. And 10 of them. And of the 10, one returned to bless God, to bless Jesus, to praise Him, to thank Him. And so, with the number of examples in God's Word of thanksgiving and the lack of it and the exhortations of it, I thought it'd be appropriate in the fact that the fourth Thursday of the month is upon us, that we ought to think about thanksgiving. And Moses is exhorting the children of Israel, the national Israelites, right here in what we're going to read, to be careful about being obedient to God and thankful to God. There's a hymn in our hymn book called Trust and Obey. Well, I styled this lesson, I entitled it Thank and Obey. Thank and Obey. Go to verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day, ye shall observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers. I'm going to, rather than reading the whole thing without stopping, because y'all know I can't do that, I try to, I always stop, I'm going to just go verse by verse now, rather than, but I want you to, as we go through, brethren, please listen out for Moses' warning to the people about forgetting. There's a verse in Psalm that says how dangerous it is to forget God. He says the nations that forget God are turned into hell. The nations. And individuals too. So listen for forget and remember here. And we'll get the message, God willing. So before I begin reading again, let me remind you, this is a sort of a new generation, younger generation, that's been through the wilderness, and they've seen God's hand upon the nation and how He's guided them, and they're about to go into the land of Canaan. After the first five books, we come to Joshua, and Joshua begins with, Joshua was Moses' minister, he helped Moses, and he became the leader of the children of Israel at Moses' death. Moses is about to die. If you go to the end of Deuteronomy, you'll see God lets him go up on the mountain and look into the promised land, but he can't go in. Why not? Disobedient. Didn't obey God. And Joshua's going to lead him across Jordan. You know that history, I hope. So Moses, brethren, these are some of his last words, and he's talking to this new, quote-unquote, generation, and he's reminding them of some things. So here we go. All the commandments which I command thee this day, ye shall observe to do, that ye may three things, live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt, say it, what is it?
Remember.
There it is, there's that term. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God gave them manna. They were in a wilderness area. They needed food. When they were desperate for water, God gave them water. When they were desperate for food, God gave them food. It says, which you knew not, and your fathers did. Manna had never been seen before. It was a new thing. And you know the history of manna. How each morning they would go gather it, God provided. And they couldn't get too much and store it in, it'd go bad on them. The lesson in that is, trust God day by day by day. Worry not about next week or even tomorrow. Trust God for today. Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Well, that's a kind of an odd expression, isn't it? Your foot didn't swell. What he means is, the clothing that they had, they, as I understand it, they had no way to make new clothes in this wilderness. So the clothes they had and the clothes they brought out from Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians. They came out loaded up with goods, and their clothes lasted all those years, and their shoes lasted all those years. The material things they needed, God provided. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Well, the lesson in that is, God, who he loves, he chastens. God keeps us close to him by his chastening rod. He chastens us in love to bring us, keep us into fellowship. And when we get out of fellowship with him, he chastens us to bring us back into fellowship. And that's what he did for the children of Israel. You can read in Exodus and Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, how God chastened those children of Israel. You know some things off the top of your head that he did to them when they were disobedient and they murmured and complained. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Now he describes this land. You know that's called the promised land, don't you? The land of promise, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's an expression. that there would be a lot of natural resources there. I learned something yesterday in preparing, studying, about this land flowing with milk and honey. I always thought that meant, I just assumed it meant, there was a lot of honey there. It was sweet things, honey, bees in trees. They'd go get the honey. Well, I read this in one of the commentaries. It said that there were trees in the land of Canaan, palm trees, that the fruit of those palm trees was gathered and they made honey out of that. Well, it wouldn't be honey from bees, I suppose, but they made, it was plentiful, and they call that honey. So that might be something in addition. If you didn't know it, I didn't know it, but something to think about. A good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out, and valleys and hills. Plenty of water in that land. A land of wheat, verse 8, and barley, and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. What about those natural resources? Hear that? That was a wealthy land, brethren. It was a bountiful land. God said, I'm bringing you into it. I'm going to give it to you. God promised it to Abraham and his descendants, the land to the fathers of these Israelites. What a bountiful land, brethren. And then he says in verse 10, after all that, he says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Isn't that a beautiful picture, brethren, of how God loves his people and provides for them not just daily manna, day by day, what they need, but over and above that. Look at the things that he describes there that are in that land of Canaan, that promised land. And the next word, brethren, is beware. Beware. I've said to you before that prosperity and success is often harder to deal with than failure. It is for me. Why is that? Because, brethren, when we succeed over and over and we're prospering, the nature of our humanness causes us to think, well, I'm pretty good. I must be pretty good at what I'm doing. I must be pretty smart. I'm doing this of my own hand here. We get to thinking that. It's just natural for us to do that. And beware, Moses says, that thou, what's that word? Forget. Opposite of remember, isn't it? Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And here are the results. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So easy to forget, isn't it? That's why Moses is reminding them. He's warning them. He's saying, beware, beware when you come into this land and you're prospering and everything's going great and you're wealthy. Your flocks and herds multiply. Your gold multiplies. Watch out that your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord thy God. And you don't obey his commandments. And you forget where you came from. You know, we use that expression sometimes. Hey, he's forgotten where he came from. I heard Senator Orrin Hatch got in it with another senator, two senators fussing this week. And the little bit that I heard, they were fussing over the tax bill, the new one, and Hatch was reminding the guy, he was very indignant and saying, you know, I came up hard myself. And then some of the commentators said he came from a very poor family. And of course, he's a senator now. He's done well. But he was reminding the guy, look, I hadn't forgotten where I came from. It's always good to remember where you came from, what God's done for you. God, it says, verse 15, led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. I was reading in the commentary about that, and you know the example. God said to Moses one time, speak to the rock, or strike the rock, and then he said, speak to the rock, and each time water came forth. And this commentator said, usually when you hit a rock, a spark flies, or with flint it does, but with God in this case, water came forth. That's our great God. That's what he can do, brethren. Water came out of the rock of flint, who fed thee, verse 16, in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. You hear those pronouns there. Sounds like Nebuchadnezzar, doesn't it? Remember him in Daniel? He said, is this not great Babylon that I have built by the might of my power? Oh, he's just going on and on and on about himself. And God struck him down. Yeah. Thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, here it is. But thou shalt, what, brethren? Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all, what? Forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. God is about to drive out from before the children of Israel several different nations that are occupying the land of Canaan. And God says very clearly in his word, I'm driving them out because they're ungodly. They're heathen. They're wicked nations. I'm going to drive them out. He is going to drive them out and populate the land of Canaan with his people. And he says, watch out when you get there, because the good life is going to destroy you if you're not careful. You've got to obey my laws when you get there. You've got to serve me and not false gods. Beware. Let's go back now to verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. That's a chapter in history, brethren, where God's leader is speaking to God's people by the inspiration of God, saying, warn these people. This is what you need to tell them. Teach them. Tell them. Warn them. Exhort them. They're about to go in a land that I'm going to give them. It's a very fruitful and a bountiful land. And I want them to, for their good, I'm telling them now, they got to obey me and follow me. Else, they're going to be ousted from that land. And if you continue reading the history, you'll see that they go into the land. God goes before them and they're successful, by and large, of booting out the people. And they're happy in that land. If you keep reading the history, you'll see that they began to worship other gods and disobey the one true and living God. And God took them out. He had kings come in and bring the choicest of their citizens with them out into, specifically Babylon was one of the countries. They were taken captive. There's the warning. There it is. You can read the history of it in God's word. Now, brethren, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. How can we profit from this? How can we profit from this? Well, a couple of ways I'd like to make a couple of points. Do we live in a bountiful land? Do we ever? All scripture is profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in the right way to live. This scripture, brethren, I hope will profit by it. I hope that we'll see from the exhortation of God, to God's people of old, I hope we'll see. And God doesn't change. He changes not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word changes not. Brethren, look at the history and let's learn from it. The first Thanksgiving was when the pilgrims and the Native Americans got together, and the pilgrims at least thanked the one true and living God for the bounty, for sparing them. In the winter, many died. It was a tough life, but God was with them. And they set aside a day to give thanks and to honor God. And we do that. I listened to a preacher on the way up here this morning, listened to him, and he said, Thanksgiving Day is great. It's great. But he made the same point I want to make. It's not just the fourth Thursday in November every year that you or I are to be thankful, is it? No. It's every day. It's every day. I hope when you wake up, brethren, and you start praying to God, you start, first of all, giving Him thanks for what He's done for you. Every day is a day of thanksgiving, brethren. But can you see similarities, brethren, in our land and in this land? Let's go back. Go back, brethren. Go back to verse 2. Remember the way that the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the case of Israel. Has God led you, brethren, all of your life? Has He been your guardian? Is the Lord your shepherd? Has He shepherded you through trials and tough times in your life? Good times and bad? Is the Lord your shepherd, brethren? Have you wanted for anything that you really had to have? I've wanted, W-A-N-T, I've wanted things that I didn't need and God didn't give them to me. Thank the Lord for that. But I've never lacked for anything. I was thinking, just, I guess Thanksgiving got me to thinking about this. Yesterday I took a blank sheet of paper and I started writing down things for which I'm thankful. Now, I filled up a page and I stopped at the bottom of the page. I could have gone on. But it was a wonderful exercise for me to write down the things for which I'm thankful. And you know, probably the things that I'm thankful for now are a little different than they would have been 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. God's salvation is the head of the list, most thankful thing I'm thankful for. But I went on down, the family came right after that, grandchildren. I hope to see today, going to meet the two grandsons and my daughter up the road, Lord willing. She's coming this way, caught a ride, and I'm going to go up and meet her, Lord willing, and see those boys. Last Sunday night at the church I went to, I was holding my three-year-old granddaughter just like this. She was sitting on my arm, and I felt this little hand on the back of my neck, just as flat as anything, just as warm. And she put her hand up there and was just pressing against my neck. And I thought, there's just nothing like that. I mean, there are better things, the salvation of God and the love of Jesus Christ saving me from my sins. But brethren, that's pretty close up there when a granddaughter will do that. And she just held it there. We were standing for the song, singing a song. And I thought, you know, God's salvation and saving me from my sins, doing something I could not do for me and loving me with an everlasting love. You can't get better than that. And then family and loved ones. Those were all up there near the top. But then I thought about my work and income that God gives me and has given me. You know, brethren, there's never been a time in my life when I was out of work. There were times when I wasn't working, when I was maybe in school full time and couldn't work. But there's never a time when I was unemployed, officially unemployed, and wanted work. Never was a time. That's just the grace of God there, brethren. Never. I mean, it was minimum wage. But brethren, I was healthy to work and I could get my paycheck, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a prosperous country that I can live in, and the things that we have and all the things that we have. Just the list went just on and on and on. I just rambled with listing things and thinking about them. And though things have not always been absolutely pleasant and happy for me, God's been with me all through that. Can't you say that too? That He's been with you, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that He's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies, that He's good to you. He's led us, brethren, like He led these Israelites through the wilderness. We could go to
every verse, couldn't we? We'd go to every one of them.
The Lord thy God, verse 7, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and waters, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Natural resources we have in this country in which we live. Did you pick it? Did you choose to be born here? Did you choose your parents? Did you choose where you were going to live in your early days? No. God put you here. I thought a moment ago when I was talking about the bounty of the field. I drive here to see you, and I drive to other churches, and it's 74 miles, I think, up here. I love it. I love the drive. Because I look out, brethren, and I see cotton growing in the fields and people gathering it, and peanuts. And sometimes it's on Sunday morning they're out there gathering them. And I say, Lord, have mercy. I just want to stop them, but I don't need to do that, but I want to. Brethren, come on. God gives us the bounty here. You don't have to do it on the Lord's day. You don't have to do that. The church of Jesus Christ would be a good place to be on that, you know. Maybe go after church. I don't know about that, how you feel about that. But at least go to, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. A land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates. Land of oil, olive and honey. Olive oil. Olives. You know, they're planting olives in South Georgia now. Y'all know that, don't you? A preacher friend of mine bought him some olive trees the other day. And he asked me to pick them up for him and meet him. And I did. And I looked at the little olive plants. And I said, brother, I was giving them to him, and I don't know if he'd ever seen any before. He was smiling, looking at them, and I'd had them at my house 3 or 4 days, and I was looking at them, and they were about this tall in a little tray, you know, a little tray. And I said, brother, there's your olive trees. There they are. And we were just smiling and looking at them. And I said, you know that verse in Psalms, I couldn't remember where it was, but it said something about the man who honors God, his wife will be like a fruitful vine by the side of his house, and his children as olive plants around his table. I love that verse. When my three children were little, sometimes we'd sit down to a wonderful meal prepared by my wife, and I'd look at the children, and they were, you know, squirming around and giggling and looking, and I'd think, look at my olive plants around the table. I love these olive plants here. And the brother said, you know, that Brother Mike, I might preach on that soon. He's looking at his olive plants. And how God has blessed us, brethren. He's so blessed us. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. So, brethren, so, when you enjoy on this Thursday, the Lord willing, the bounty of the table and the natural blessings of God, brethren, thank God. Bless the Lord. Bless him. Bless. To bless means to kneel as an act of adoration. Thank God for that. His good hand is upon us. Beware, verse 11, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes. Lest when you have eaten and art full and hast built good houses to dwell in, and your herds multiply, your flocks, your gold is multiplied, you're enriched by the good hand of God, that your heart be lifted up and you forget. Brethren, we have so much to thank God for. Please be thankful. Please don't forget God. Please don't forget to obey Him. And He tells the children of Israel, if you forget me and you don't obey my commandments, you'll be kicked out, expelled from the good land that I'm giving you. Now, brethren, in closing, God doesn't change. God's put us in a fruitful land, and we need to be thankful. Thank and obey. We need to obey His word. Obey His directives. He hasn't changed. He's not going to prosper us if we're not going to serve Him and put Him first. If we're unthankful, if we forget His statutes and His commandments, He's not going to do it. And I don't say we ought to thank Him and obey Him so that He will bless us. That's just part of the fringe benefits of it, brethren. We ought to do it because He loves us. And He gave His Son for us. And Jesus died for us. Be thankful. Feast on Thursday
enjoy the benefits and the bounty of what God's given you. But brethren, then bless the Lord for what He's given. Acknowledge Him in public. Acknowledge Him to those around the table in your house. The Psalms say, be thankful unto the Lord and to make known His benefits among the people. I get to make them known up here from the pulpit. I get to tell you how good God's been to me. And you could tell each other if you want to. I'd welcome you to do that. I won't call on you to do it. But brethren, just be thankful unto God. If you don't do it here, at least do it around your table on Thursday to your family. Acknowledge God and how good He's been. I want to close with one thing I want you to do, and that is, when you leave here, I want you to look up a verse, I want you to read it. I'm not going to quote it for you. I can, but I'm not going to. I want you to study it. When you get out there in the car, say to your child or your wife or your husband, let's look up that verse right now. Or let's look, if you don't have your Bible, now you need to have it. If you don't have it, when you get home, get it out and look up Colossians, New Testament, 3:15. Colossians 3:15. I'll give you a little assignment there. Brethren, God bless you. And I bless God and I praise Him for the goodness that He's supplied to me through my life and up to this very moment. God add His blessing.